Are you an elementary music teacher who's feeling overwhelmed and drained? Juggling lesson plans, self-care, and the unique challenges of being a music teacher can be really tough. If the hustle's leaving you tired, know that you're not alone. Check to see if you're at risk for burnout by taking our burnout quiz and discover tools for a healthier, happier teaching experience. Your well-being matters, and it's time to prioritize it. Take the quiz today at storiesthatsing.net/burnout quiz. Here's to a refreshed you in the new year.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
It's the Happy Music Teacher!
Are you an elementary music teacher who's frustrated and overwhelmed? I'm Jeanette Shorey, a happy music teacher who loves teaching every day, but it wasn't long ago I was in your shoes. Join me Wednesdays to help you find happy in your music classroom.
I am so excited to have Debbie O'Shea with me today. She has been a colleague and friend and mentor for so many years now, and she has just so many things that she does. She's an enthusiastic and experienced music educator. Her qualifications include a master's of music study, a graduate diploma of music education, a bachelor of education, and the Holy Names Kodai summer certificate held in Brisbane. In 2020, Debbie earned national accreditation as a highly accomplished teacher, and that is a big deal, as you know. Debbie is passionate about supporting music educators through Crescendo Music Education. She has worked as a classroom teacher, primary music specialist, early childhood music teacher, a curriculum writer, lecturer, workshop presenter. I'm tired just reading this. Masked choir conductor and composer. Debbie is currently a Kodai Queensland committee member. She has had the honor of working with Catholic Education, KMEIA Queensland, Music Aviva in schools, Music Counts Us In, UQ, and Griffith University. Currently, she works as a primary music specialist for the Department of Education, Queensland. Debbie lives north of Brisbane on Turrbal land with her husband and has two children, now lovely young men. Debbie, welcome. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for agreeing to chat with me and let me be on your podcast.
Oh, no, my gosh. I was so excited when you reached out and were like, I have something new to share and I really want to do it on your podcast. I was like, I feel so honored. So first of all, tell us a little bit about just about you, about your journey, like your journey as a music teacher, how you became, how you started on the path that you're on now.
Oh, boy. Actually, it's funny you should say that. I can, of course, speak for, I don't know, approximately 3 months on my journey, but I feel at this point in time, I almost feel like all of the things that have happened professionally and personally to me over my career, which I started teaching for over 42 years ago. Oh, my goodness. Gosh.
That's amazing. Congratulations. That is a big deal.
It is actually, because just hanging in for 42 years is a big deal. So anyway, I think I'm actually at a point in my career and my position and work with other music educators. I think I'm in a really strong place to make a real difference. I'm involved in a campaign called Music for Every Child Every Week, where we're working with fellow educators to reinstate and, I guess, reverse the tide of disintegration on some music programs here in Queensland, because in Queensland we were world leaders in music education. It was amazing what we had in our state, and every state in Australia is quite different. Some have some music teachers, some have very few. It's often at the discretion of the school, not so much the system. So right. I'm trying to help at a national level too, but at a state level, I feel I can really make a difference because of my experience, my qualifications, my network, which is amazing. I love, love, love my fellow music teachers. It includes you, people like you in the States. But in Queensland, it means we have a real grassroots strength. And we all believe in the power of music education. So I think that where I'm at in my journey now is a place where I'm supposed to be, where I can be strong for people who aren't feeling strong in the fight, and where I can fight for the need for every child to have music.
That is amazing. And I agree with you that we here in the States have the same issue that, like, Alabama, perfect example. The county that I teach in, every school has an elementary music teacher, but you go north one county and there are very few, you know? I mean, and I am with you that every child, first of all, it's so important to have music education for so many reasons. I mean, we could go off on a whole tangent about the importance of music education, yes, for the sake of music, but also for the brain, et cetera. So, you know, I feel like you really are, you're such an authority and such a, you know, an experienced, well-rounded teacher and person. And, you know, I think you have a lot to offer.
Thank you. That's lovely of you to say. But, you know, I should probably answer your original question. I'm very good at tangents, by the way. Just warning for you and your listeners, okay,
Debbie? We do tangents on this show.
Well, then we definitely are kindred spirits. So when I started, I have to go back to teachers' college because it was a college then, not a university. It was a 3-year course then, not a 4-year course. And I met this amazing woman called Pam Burton. And I really think my professional journey is about people and relationships as much as it is about content. So Pam Burton, I did a music major in a general primary classroom course. So that's how I started my career as a primary. And primary, by the way, for your listeners, is basically elementary. In Australia, we call it primary. And it's sort of 4-year-olds to 11-year-olds is primary prep.
Interesting. Grade six.
So that's what I teach, prep to grade 6, 4 to 11-year-olds. So I met this amazing woman, Pam Burton, who took this subject within the music major called Kodai. So we had someone that did ORF, someone that did Delcros, and someone that did Kodai. And I had Pam Burton. And last I heard, she was living in England. And, oh, boy, I do hope she is alive and well and still magical. Anyway, I was introduced to this Kodai stuff and went, this is logical. This makes sense. Oh, my goodness, I wish I'd learned this way. This is teaching my ear. This is not my experience of music until college was I did learn piano, but from a very aged lady down the road who told me there's a black dot on the page, and when you see that black dot, you put your finger on that key there, and you hold it for this long. Okay. So I learned piano through decoding the symbols and transferring it to my fingers. And it seemed to bypass bits of my brain. You know, I did it. I played. I didn't do exams because I chose not to, but I played adequately. But this Kodai stuff, I thought, wow. Anyway, I had better fast forward because, like I said, I'll talk for 3 months. It's true. So
that's why you and I get along, because we're both chatters.
Love it. So I then got out into schools and I did music every day with my kids. And we had a beautiful classroom music specialist. So she would do her weekly lesson. It was Miriam Evans, my first year. And she would do a half an hour lesson once a week. And then I would practice and do all of the things every day. Then she'd come back and we'd do more. And I thought, I want to do this all the time. So the short story is I started training myself. And I've never stopped. I connected with the Kodai Association. Actually, they connected with me. They got me on as a student rep through Pam Burton. So I was on the committee, the Kodai Queensland committee, before I graduated. I was the student representative. So, and a few years ago, they gave me honorary life membership, which is lovely.
That's really a big deal.
It's very special, actually. It's a real honor. So I connected with Judy Johnson. Once a week, I would go to her musicianship classes. We would do methodology classes, and ended up doing a master's degree, which was based on Kodai pedagogy. And I met a whole heap of amazing people, Anne Comiskey. I owe so much to these great people, but it made sense. And I saw children benefit and learn. And then I said, can I be a music teacher? And they went, oh, okay, there you go. So I've been a music teacher after a couple of years in the classroom.
Wow, that's awesome. What a cool story that I did not know.
It's an interesting journey, but, you know, starting as a classroom teacher gives you a different perspective on behavior management. I think it's good to be a specialist, having had experience as a generalist. Mm-hmm. I think what I love the most is being able to really understand my subject. Whereas when I was in the classroom, I felt I just didn't teach maths very well because I just don't. I mean, look, I was adequate, but I wasn't great. I didn't have a great understanding of science, for example. I used to get people in to help to make sure I did exciting experiments and stuff. I just like having the depth of knowledge so I know I'm giving the kids the best. And now there's even more reason because I don't know what it's like in America, but I do know that in Australia, apologies in advance to any listeners who are classroom teachers who have joy in their classroom, but more and more I'm seeing the joy sucked out of school.
Yes, for everybody, for the teachers, the students, for the admins, you know, everybody. It's not a nice place to be anymore, which obviously is my purpose.
That's right. So that's why it makes our jobs even more important to keep the joy in schools. So I call the music room the beating heart of the school. And that is deliberately a bit of a pun, I know. So I guess that's my journey and that's why I do what I do.
That is amazing. So for listeners who, I can't imagine this, but for I'm sure there are listeners out there who don't know you well, or maybe are just being introduced to you. Tell us a little bit about, you've got like resources upon resources upon resources. Tell us a little bit about how you got there. Like, how did you start writing and how did you, you've got so much going on. How did that happen?
Oh, now that's, boy, that's a deep question. I'll go back to actually how it started. So because I was so passionate about this stuff and I was on the Kodai committee thinking, this is what kids need and I can be a really excellent teacher and I can take even the kids with great learning needs I can help lead them to music literacy. Perhaps not concert pianist music literacy, but some sort of music literacy. I can help with connection and belonging and focus. And anyway, enough of my why. I guess people know my why.
I think the why is important, Debbie. I really do.
Yeah, it is. Because if you don't have that why when things get hard, and if you don't think things get hard at school, you ain't never worked in a school.
Right? You must be living in a place where none of us are living if you don't.
Yeah, I don't know. The Oompa Loompas are there.
Right?
So I was working a bit on myself constantly, and through the Kodai Association, we were running workshops all the time it fills my cup, you know, it feeds my soul. I want to do this. I'd love to provide this for people. So on in my head is swirling, I want to do these workshops. And I've mentioned Judy Johnson before, shout out Judy, and she was running Clayfield School of Music, and she was writing books, as in not novels, but, you know, as in rhyme collections, and she was publishing for people, and had this huge shop, Clayfield School of Music, that provided all of these resources. It was like in her house, but she would bring things to workshops. I started doing my Kodai summer certificate through Brisbane. There was such a demand that they bought their campus to Brisbane and was part of our summer schools. So I've got my whole Holy Names certificate, but I've never been to Holy Names California. They came to Brisbane. So I did all of them. And then there was a group of us who graduated who said, okay, what's next? Yeah. And the Holy Names organizers went, yeah, but you've got your certificate. What do you mean? Yes, but we're coming back. We're doing this every year. So then they had to put in a special strand for us who finished but wanted to keep learning. This is what I want to do. I want to be, I want to lecture. I want to lead people. Talking about putting a master's degree in, and they said, well, you'll need at least a normal degree, because I was pre-degree. I was a teacher before you had to have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
I've turned into the old person, but that's all right. Nice being
We're
here.
We're both there, Debbie. We're both there.
And I'd done since my degree, my diploma, I'd done a graduate diploma in music education. So then I had to do a degree in education, which was the quickest to get, so that I could do a master's degree in music education. So I topped up to get the degree in education, which really we were all being asked to do, you know, as the degree kids were coming out, us non-degree people had to do our extra training, really, you know, so that we had a degree as well. So that's right. Didn't mind doing that. So I did that. And then I did the master's degree. So I started being invited to, I was a levels teacher in the Kodai course. So I lectured in the summer schools in Brisbane. I tended to do early childhood level one practicum and methodology and things like that. I was really most comfortable, I think, at that point, teaching around the really young ones. And like with children, I think the absolutely the most important work you will ever do is with your youngest students. That is where you lay the foundations. Like if someone said to me, you have to not teach 1 year level, it's got to start getting out from the top. You can't give up the bottom. That's where you build your foundations. And it's the same with teaching adults. If you can start your level one with really good foundations of the basic concepts of methodology, that really solid sequence of, you know, hear, feel, see, write, all of the premises of good a good philosophy of music education, then you can do almost anything. You just apply that logic and that way of teaching to whoever you're teaching. So I really loved getting the first year people in the Kodai courses, and I did some in Sydney as well. And then I went, I think I'll start my own business. I'll give it a name. I'm starting to do these bits of lecturing. So in the year 2000, I officially started Crescendo Music Education. And then I went, I want to have something online. Online is the way it's going to go. So I opened an online membership site in 2003.
Wow.
And it's been running ever since.
That's amazing. Tell us about it. What is in there? What kind of resources? I know, but probably some of my listeners do not.
Well, it's funny because I think even people that have been members for 20 years probably don't know everything that's in there. It's sort of, I wish I knew in the year 2000 what I know now. But it just grew like Crescendo was a bit of an octopus, is the way I think of it, right? It tried to be everything for everyone. Someone would say, oh, Debbie, look, I'd really like this piece of choral music. Could you get it in? I'd go, sure. I would then spend a week, always teaching full-time, can I say?
Right.
Oh, at one stage, I dropped to 4 days a week so that I had a day on Crescendo. But it really financially was better to work full-time. And I also found my schoolwork was starting to take up my day off. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do 5 days of work for school, 5 days a week work, I may as well get paid for 5 days a week.
Yeah,
so
you might as well
I went
paid
back to full-time.
Sure.
So I spent a week hunting down this music that was only available at this little boutique place in America, and they only wanted five copies because we have these funny copyright laws. Let's not even get into that, where you're allowed to make copies of originals, five copies of each original if you work for our system, but music's much more expensive. Anyway, I found it. I purchased it. I paid the postage. I did that. I ended up losing so much money providing five pieces of music for this teacher. And I thought, and I was wholesaling puppets, and I've still got this massive cupboard on the other side of that yellow door. If people are watching this, right, there's this massive cupboard my husband built that was full of stock. And I'd buy stuff in for workshops. I'm going to use these snail puppets. So I'll buy in a whole lot of them, and then I'd have a workshop, and then some would sell, and then I'd have five leftover snail puppets in my cupboard. And I go, good, the profit of that workshop is sitting in my cupboard. So I gradually added things to this online platform, and it's grown and grown. Things like worksheets, teaching ideas, games. A bit of the one side that hasn't grown a lot is the just going in to look up a song. There's better places, there's a bit of repertoire in there, but it ended up not growing as strongly, but just lots of planning, lesson ideas, ready to print stuff. And one of my VAs now, beautiful, beautiful Katrina, she helps me create things. I sometimes will just take a picture. Can you make something like this? And can you blah, 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 blah? And we back and forward. So I do have people that help me. So there's that. There's also now repeat webinars and workshops. So I put them up and members can go in and watch those, download all the handouts, because the workshops and webinars is another side of what I do, and they're really valuable. I do those. My podcast has now been going for almost 2 years.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm getting close to 100 episodes, and the podcast has been amazing. Very expensive for me at the moment because I have to outsource a lot of the work, but I just love it. I wanted to do one for so long. So I have
I
that
do
as
too.
Well.
I love it.
So,
I love it.
So
too.
yeah, membership is where there's been just that constant trickle of income, and that's where I, at the heart of my support, I guess. I do a lot through social media too, though, and my webinars, workshops. And coming up is my very first course.
Yes, I was just going to ask you about that. So something you've been developing for a while now, yes?
Yeah.
And
yes,
I want to hear all about that.
Well, I'm really excited about it. And I actually can tell you this specific course, I have a bigger course that I am working on. There, you're the first person I've told publicly. That's Ooh. Not going to be ready for a while. And that's what I've been working on for a couple of years. This course I've only been working on for a year. And I'll tell you how it came about. I put a live workshop on during the Easter holidays last year. So we're coming up to almost a year ago. I don't often have, I only had about four or five workshops or webinars a year. So not a lot, you know, enough to support my community, but enough for me to do working full time in a school.
Right. Yeah.
In
it's
that
a
really
lot.
Big job. It is a lot. So I thought I'll try one in the, we have a little, a 2 week holiday around Easter. So I put something in there and I only had about two registrations and I had to call it off because I paid for the venue and the, you know, all the costs. And I went, oh, sorry, guys. A few other people said, oh, shame, I would have come. I just hadn't got round to registering. Sorry. Anyway, I thought, you know what? This is so important. It's all based on engagement and good pedagogy. I'm going to turn this workshop into a course. And I had lined up two educators I really love and respect. Deb Bryden, who I talk about on every podcast because we work together literally every day. So there's Deb Bryden and Alison McLeod, who I also dearly love, who is very clever. Alison, you are very clever. And the three of us were going to present on this day and we'd already worked out what we were doing. And I went, let's turn this into a course. Will you two come and co-present with me? We'll record it. We sort of hired an amazing person to video. Hello, Dave. We love him. You know, we were had the where we were going to video. We looked at some of the things we couldn't do as part of a course. So in the workshop, we were going to share links to things like those fabulous Nikos videos that were produced during COVID. You know, I can't do a course and say, and here, learn this, which I didn't do, you know. So we had to delete some of the things we were doing and we added some others. And we videoed it. I spent a very long time creating the handout, I guess, that goes with this. So it's actually more like a little book. It's so good, worth it for the handout. And we videoed everything and I've turned it into a course called Marvelous Music Manipulatives.
Ooh, you are speaking my language. You know I love my manipulatives. So
yes,
tell me
and
more.
Yeah, but you know what else I think you love? And I think you and I are like this. I think we both love our alliterations.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I try to always do alliterations in my things.
And what's really funny, when I got to do a session in your summit, hold on, now it was an MMM. Hold on, tell me again, what was it?
Make Music Magic.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you what, you really messed with my brain because at the same time I'm working on Marvelous Music Manipulatives, which when I am writing notes to myself, I think of something and I just write MMM.
Yep.
Marvelous music, but yours was MMM as well. So yeah. You did mess with my brain for a while there.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, this course has 4 modules. It's 4 weeks long. People will pop in when it drops. I think we're planning for it to drop on a Saturday.
Okay.
Don't quote me. I have to just double check. And it's starting on the it is. I can tell you because now I'm looking at a calendar over here. The 6th, the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th is when the 4 modules will drop. But
March?
Oh, sorry. What? Do you want the month?
Well, that would be helpful.
Oh, sorry. April.
April. Okay.
April. I haven't.
I was like, wow, that's really soon. I better get this out here.
No, a little bit longer than that. And also, that's the 6th of April, is in the middle of our 2-week holiday. So I thought that was a nice time
for
that to drop. And we'll have a special Facebook group, which will be open for that time and a couple of weeks later. So hopefully there'll be lots of sharing and chatting in there. Who knows? It's all a bit of an experiment, but we'll see what happens. But whoever buys the course will have lifetime access. So basically each week will be watch the video where we talk about what we're doing. We demonstrate, we pretend that we're the kids doing it. And which is sort of interesting when there's only 3 of us, but you know, you can use your imagination.
Yeah.
And then you can download the notes that give you all of the instructions and the details and the repertoire and all of those.
So are we talking how to use manipulatives? Are we talking the type of manipulatives to use? Are we talking the lesson plans that go with the manipulatives or all the things?
Well, the way it's shaken out, because, you know, it's one of those things, like you were just saying, could be almost anything, couldn't it? So what we all did was we went and thought about our favorite activities from what we do now that work. Let's pool our ideas. Let's see what have we got. And then we made sure we had some. We've just sort of broken it up to lower, middle, and upper. So it's like what we call prep to year 2. So I guess 4, 5, 6, maybe 7-year-olds. Then more in that middle 7, 8, 9-year-olds, and then, you know, 10, 11, 12 sort of. So we made sure we had some activities from each of those.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly did not exhaust all of the manipulatives we could use. You know, we went, okay, well, let's stick to these and this works and we can share this. So it's very activity-based, but it shows where you could plug it into your lesson. So for example, well, there's actually a freebie people can get, which will give them an idea. It's an extra one. And it's with, now we call them handballs. Do you have handballs in America?
Maybe. What do you
Well, I'd say, judging by your reaction, you don't have the same thing we have, because our students are obsessed with handballs. Okay. So they're tennis ball size, but they're very hard and, harder and very bouncy. And they play handball on drawn squares on concrete. And that's got to bounce on your side and bounce on their side. And they hit it to each other with their hands. Obsessed. We have handball competitions, big fights over who's winning the handball competitions. So these handballs are like gold, but they're nice. Like, you can get cheap ones for $2, you know. But I bought a class set from, you know, the educational sporting goods place, you know. So I thought, if I use handballs in my classroom, they are just going to go, especially those older boys that are obsessed by handballs. So I thought, I'm going to use them. I used to use tennis balls, for some activities, but tennis balls are not very bouncy, really, especially not if you buy cheap ones like I did. Okay. So handballs are really bouncy. So the freebie that people can get, I called hands-on music fun, and it's just something, an activity that you can do with handballs with your kids. So people can hop in and download that anytime they like.
Awesome. So is that something that people can have access to now, or is that something that will be coming?
No, that one they can get right now. And the easiest way, I can send you the link to put in your notes. Yes, but if people are just listening and want to just check it out as soon as they can on their phone or whatever, if they go to my website, which is crescendo.com.au, so I'm over here, .com.au. So Crescendo, which I don't have to spell because all your listeners are music peeps. Most gee, the number of times I have to spell that for people who aren't musical. But anyway, crescendo.com.au. And then under my picture, oh, I'm sorry, it's so big. I've really got to talk to the web people. The picture of me on the website is massive. Anyway, just go past that picture of me, and down the bottom, there's some freebies, tiles of freebies. So click on hands-on music fun, stick in your email, and it'll get sent to you. You will be added to my email list, and it does tell you that. It's not a surprise, but I only send an email once a week, and they're short and they're useful, and you can unsubscribe anyway, but don't.
Your email list, your emails are always useful because I get them.
As are yours. I love your gifts.
Oh, thank you. I love the gifts too.
I can tell.
Can you tell? I mean, there's usually at least two in every email.
I love it. I actually haven't even looked into, every time I see that, I go, I've got to look into how I can do that, because, I mean, I insert pictures, that's it, you know. Yeah, so if people get that, it's a handball activity. It's based on a song that I really want to use in my classroom, but I just don't love. It's a little bit, to me, a little bit old-fashioned and boring, but really useful for teaching compound. So compound meter. I really, really wanted to use it, and I thought, okay, I'll just make up a handball thing. So now, you know, the great 11-year-olds love it now.
Awesome.
Even though we're singing this really naff old-fashioned song. And in that freebie, I've spent a lot of time explaining why we should use manipulatives in the classroom. Awesome. So there's a whole sheet on the amazing things about learning through play and joy for them and joy for us.
Yes.
Honestly, I need it.
Yes.
I get bored with singing the same things, and I'm going, mm-hmm. I know it's new to them, but I've been doing it for 42 years. I got to make it more interesting.
Seriously. Yeah, especially, I mean, when I was teaching only fourth and fifth grade, there were weeks when I was teaching the same exact lesson 26 times. By the end, I was like, oh my gosh, please, do I really have to teach this again?
Oh, that's extreme. Oh yeah, my goodness. Yeah.
I got to the point where I started, like, I would separate out, so my fourth graders in a couple classes were doing one lesson and my fourth graders in another class were doing another lesson, because I was like, I can't take it. I can't do 26 times in a row.
Oh, that is extreme. At one point, I remember my timetable had 7 preps in a row. There was a break in there. So prep is our 4 to 5-year-olds, right?
Wow.
Apart from being exhausted. It's a lot. But I must admit, if you do it, I do find I quite like doing the same lesson maybe 3 times or so, which often happens in our situation. I tell you what, by the end, I'm pretty good at that. Like, yeah. You know, you just,
you're like, you go, a rock star. Okay, I got this now.
Yeah. And you go, do you know what? If I just did that bit earlier, and then that transition would be better. And, you know, you just,
so yeah, you develop those lessons, you develop the way you teach them, you know, yeah. And by the end of the week, man, you are solid.
I love it. Yes. So you're a rock star. So
what other kinds of manipulatives? Because you know, I'm okay. All about the manipulatives.
I got a bit of paper here. Let me look at my bit of paper. Right. So specifically what we use during this. So we've got the handballs, soft toys, whatever you would like to call them. Just, oh my goodness.
Monkey what? Noodles?
Oh, no, do you know what? You've talked about monkey noodles. I've got to find out more about them. Are your students really into them?
Alpacas. These are stretchy. I'll show you. Stretchy alpacas.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. You ready? How much do you spend on manipulatives for your classroom?
I really try not to spend too much. This year I've spent more than I normally would because I'm having to resupply because I taught fourth and fifth grade only for 10 years. And I had gotten rid of all of my puppets and all of my, like all those little toys and everything. Cause I was like, once I'm done with fourth and fifth grade, I'm not going back into the classroom. And here I am teaching pre-K, kinder, and first grade, which I'm telling you, God knew what he was doing, giving me those babies. I love them.
They're special.
But yeah, I think these were like $7.99 or $9.99 for like a whole bag of them. And we've been doing long and short this week.
Oh, so see, I think,
why they're
I
sitting
think
on my desk.
I think you guys get cheaper stuff than we do. I think. But yeah, I'll have to get some details off you and see if I can definitely. Get some of them on Amazon or something. There's got to be some giant that will sell them here too.
Well, and I'll put a link to the, because these alpaca stretchies, my kids are losing their mind for them. I had a kid this week, he was like, this is the luckiest day ever. I'm handing him the alpaca and he's like, this is the luckiest day ever. He was so cute.
That is, don't you love that? Don't you?
That's why I teach. That's why I'm still here for that kind of those moments, you know?
Yeah. I want stretchy alpacas. Okay. Soft toys. There's a couple of puppets. Oh, I mean, we could just do a whole one on puppets, but there's only a couple with puppets. Flashcards.
David Rao just did something. I'm not sure that's how you say his name, but he just did a whole.
Like, I always say Rao. I don't know.
Workshop on puppets.
Oh, wow. Okay. I should look that one up. Oh, there's too much to do. I love learning, but it's great, but it's also a bit frustrating sometimes. So flashcards, I do love flashcards, all sorts of flashcards. So we do a bit with that. Slinky handballs, one of my favorites.
Slinkies, oh my gosh, I have to talk to you more about that. I can't wait to find out that.
Handball staves and counters. I love, love, love. I have a set or a class set of felt. So, piece of paper. Mm-hmm. It's about that size.
Okay.
Piece of felt with the staff drawn on it with Nikko pen that the counters fit perfectly. Little hint, you must have the counters before you draw the staff. Or else if you draw the staff by the counters and go, oh, no, the counters overlap the lines or whatever. Anyway, so get your counters.
Or
they don't fill the space. Yes.
That would be so how I roll, that I would have the counters first and then I would draw or vice versa. I would do it backwards because that's how I roll.
And do you know what? You might be lucky enough that they'd be just right. But I love them. Like you want to do, I have a very literacy based thread. You know, I am about engagement, joy, and all of those things. But I tell you what, they are going to learn to read, write, and understand music.
Yes.
Okay. So it's important to me that we have a quick, fun way to demonstrate their knowledge and to be creative. So something like the felt staves and counters, I can say, imagine there's a treble clef, or give them a piece of black wool I've got cut to length and they create the treble clef. Oh, now that's fun. That takes them. You should see their treble clefs. Anyway,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, they do that. And then I'll say, okay, second line, G, if we've got a clef, is do. I'm going to sing some do re mi melodies or play them. You're going to put them on the staff with counters. And I'll just play and they'll build it.
Nice.
The other magic thing about that is I can look around in about 3 seconds. I can see who's got it and who hasn't. Now, if we were doing pencil and paper, which can I say is still really important? I have writing books. I think they need to write. So I'm not saying don't write.
Right.
In fact, I would actually like to do another little course on do writing. This is as well as. But for me to look, if they were doing a, let's just say it was a dictation on 3 notes on the staff in their books. I do little booklets for them. For me to see who has understood and who hasn't would take me, I've got to collect the books. I've got to look at them all. I've got to work out who that is. Then I've got to remember to tell them and give them this. I look around and I can say, oh, Jeanette, no, look, see how you've got yours on 3 lines. These notes are only steps apart. So it should be a line, a space, and a line. And they can look at you and go, oh, fix it up, penny dropped.
Yep.
Like that. So the manipulatives can be just such a powerful learning tool.
Yes.
So felt staves and counters, the lovely Alison does something with a soccer ball.
Ooh.
I'm not telling you about that. You've got to go see that yourself. Little toys. And I tell you, we could have done so much on this, but do your supermarkets sometimes have promotions where the kids, where you can, if you spend X amount, you get a little sort of sealed bag with a little toy of some description in it?
I don't think our supermarkets that I can recall, but McDonald's, you know?
McDonald's, King,
they,
right.
They sell it's, those little toys, or not sell, they give away the toys with the Happy Meal.
Imagine McDonald's then, but they're much smaller and they're just encased in a little, almost like a paper bag, sealed top and bottom. So we, like I have these things called Coles Little Shop. And so you collected it and they're mini, like there's eggs and there's milk and there's all these cute things, right? I mean, talk about landfill problem and waste and anyway. They are so cute. And I'd collected a few for classroom and I put a call out on my local Facebook page after the promotion had been done for a while. And I'm going, look, if anyone is looking to get rid of these toys, I'm a music teacher and I'd really like to use them in my classroom. So if you're looking at putting them in landfill, how about giving them new life? Oh my goodness. I have this massive bag. What you'll see on the video is actually Deb's collection and hers is the Woolworths one. So they were giving our big brands the same airtime. But when I get out my Coles Little Shop, it's just magic. I use them in all sorts of ways. So we do a little bit with those little toys, paddle pop sticks, pop-up puppets. Did I say scarves?
No, but I love scarves.
There's only a couple of scarf activities. So, you know, there's 2, 4, like say about half a dozen activities with lots of details in each module. So you'll get a range of things to just hop in your program. That's the plan.
So they're learning how to use the manipulatives, but they're also going to have lesson plans to take away from the course. Yes.
Well, not a lesson plan as such, though. That would be a good add-on, wouldn't it? Think of it like it's a lesson.
That could be a bonus.
It could actually. Yes, it could, couldn't it?
Gave you like 8 hours more work.
Yeah. Won't be able to do it by launch. But if I launch it again next year, the bonus could be the lesson plans. But I think of it more like lesson segments. You know, so this is
which
a
is
segment
really valuable
that you can put in your context.
Yes. I love that because, you know, people are always talking about there's not a set curriculum for music teachers, and they use like they pull from here, pull from here, pull from here. So you may have like the beginning and the ending of your lesson already set. You just need the middle so that segment could work perfectly. I love this. I love this.
And you know, the other thing that I know when I go to things like this, so it's almost like you're going to a workshop and you're learning from the three of us. Here are some things that are tried and tested and true and engaging. But what you do is you take that idea and go, I never thought of doing it that way. And I could do it with this song, with this group of children. And it's like a springboard. That is what I love. You take that, you might try it as is and go, I love it just as it is. Or I like that. What if I did this? I have an idea. I could do that. You know, so that's what I'm hoping. And that's what I hope the Facebook group might be as well. So that after module one, and people might go, so this is my module outline I keep looking at. So Deb does something with soft toys and singing voice for little kids. Right? Mm. So we might talk about that and say, oh, I tried it and I added this. Or look, have you thought that I've done this? And we could do it with this song in this way. And I'm hoping that the ideas will blossom and grow and we can support each other in even bigger way.
Yeah, that's part of what I love about my Happy Music Teacher Academy is that collaboration aspect of it, you know, that we can get together and, you know, springboard off of each other. Because when do music teachers get to do that? You know, we don't have that opportunity. So that's a great opportunity. So we could talk all day, but I want to know, like, is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you want my listeners to know about the course or about anything else we talked about?
Look, I want to keep talking to them. But yes, we have to go. Goodness. Look, I think if people would like to go and grab the freebie, they can see what the course is all about. And then they'll be in my email. I'll make sure they know because it's coming up very soon. I'm going to have just a couple of weeks cart open, but I can't remember the dates. But the cart open time is in March. And then the course will run in April, basically.
Okay.
I'd love people to listen to my podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. And connect with me on
social. Tell them what it's called.
Very creatively, it's called the Crescendo Music Education Podcast.
I knew it was something like that, but I wanted you to say it for, I knew it was like Crescendo Music something. I wanted to say it for the listeners so that, you know, they can go and check it out.
So I'm on all the platforms so they can find me and have a listen. I have fabulous guests, you know.
Awesome.
So, and connect on the socials because Facebook's where I hang out a lot. And my sons tell me that's because I'm a boomer. He goes, yes. Yeah.
We old people like Facebook. That's the case. So my sons tell me the same.
Yeah. They go, oh, no, that's for old people. Okay,
yeah, that's for old people. Okay. Well, you have fun with that. So are you the same handle on all social media platforms?
Basically, if you look for Crescendo or Debbie O'Shea, you'll find me. I've got it here. So on Facebook, I have a page and a group. So okay. Crescendo Music Ed is the official page. The Crescendo Community is the group. And that's we have amazing sharing in there. I'm Debbie O'Shea on LinkedIn. I'm Crescendo Debbie on Pinterest. Mm-hmm. I'm Crescendo Debbie on Instagram. I'm Crescendo Music Ed on YouTube. I love YouTube. I love making. I've got some play along videos, which I just wish I had time to make.
I didn't know that. I have to look some of those up. I've been really into the play alongs lately.
Oh, well, some of mine you will really like what I've got there, but there's not enough because they keep going to the bottom of the list, especially now I've started podcasting. I mean, seriously, working full time, running my online membership, you know, now a course. I don't have time to make YouTube clips, but that's...
I know. And I've probably got a list of 30 songs that I want to put out on YouTube that God knows when that's ever happening.
They're on our list of things to do.
Yes, they are. And like you said, they always go down to the bottom. So the best way for them to find out, for my listeners to find out more about the course is to join your email community using that link, get the freebie, and then make sure to read on, what day is it that you release your emails?
Saturday. My emails Saturday. Are
called. I knew it was the weekend. I was like, I can't remember.
Saturday, g'day.
Well, I guess it depends because Saturday for you, it might be Sunday for me. I don't know.
Yeah, it probably is. So
it might be Friday because I think you guys are like 17 hours ahead.
Well, I can tell you that my Saturday g'day, because it comes from Australia, I gave it an Australian name, and we do say g'day here. Okay. At of recording, right now it is 7:12 a.m. on Saturday morning. So so what time is it for you?
It is 3:12 p.m. on Friday afternoon.
Well, my Saturday g'day goes out at 7:30 Saturday, my time.
Okay.
So that means you will get
that
my
means
Saturday
I'll be
g'day.
Getting it in about 15 minutes.
Yes, you will.
so that's so for us, be on the lookout on a Friday if you're US. If you are, I do have a fairly nice audience in Australia. So if you're listening in Australia, you're looking for it Saturday morning.
Yes. Actually, you've got me thinking, maybe I should schedule it for Saturday evening so that it comes to you guys on a Saturday morning.
I mean, I don't really like, I'll just watch it. I'll just read it on a Saturday usually anyway. I'll see that it came in and I'll be like, oh yeah, I gotta go read that. So I want to thank you for coming on, sharing information about your course, sharing information about yourself, about Crescendo Music. I'm so happy that we got to have this conversation.
I am delighted. Thank you very much for having me.
If you got some great tips and tidbits that are going to help you become a happy music teacher, I would be so thankful if you'd leave me a review. Thanks so much for your time. Well, that's all I have for you today. But before I go, let me remind you, keep learning, keep growing, and keep being fabulous you.